everybody, welcome back to the Sixers Sense podcast. I'm your host Lucas with Chris, and we are recording the eve of the NBA draft. Chris, this is what your whole entire year builds up to, man. This is like your Christmas, your Hanukkah, your 4th of July, whatever holiday you want to put it as. Kwanzaa, sure, why not? Any of them. So let me ask you before we get into it, how are you feeling? You just got out another mock draft, right? Or just some, you got one in the works, right? One final mock draft?
Well, it'll go out in the morning. I'm excited, you know. It's always a little bittersweet when draft season's over and you kind of get to start slow again for next year. But I'm excited. I'm very interested to see how things play out tomorrow for both at large and for our beloved Philadelphia 76ers. Of course, are picking 22nd overall, Lucas, courtesy of the Jared McCain trade. So that won't place any undue expectations on the incoming rookie at all.
Not at all, no.
I will
also say that at least you've done already half the legwork, because half the guys that were supposed to get drafted this year went back. So you don't have to do so much legwork as you did last year. So pros and cons.
But, you know, you just have to find more seniors at that point. But there's a top 100 big board on fansided.com for anyone who wants to check it out. We'll have a live draft tracker. I'll drop live grades after the event tomorrow night. So,
and we'll be here after tomorrow night, too.
And we'll be here late tomorrow night to break down happens with the Sixers. So we'll have you covered both here and at fansided.com. But Lucas, we're going to start by going through a bunch of different mock drafts to see who they have the Sixers taking here in these final days, final hours.
Absolutely.
And then we'll try to come to some sort of consensus on like a Sixers-centric big board at 22. So that said, let's start with The Athletic. Sam Vecenie, one of the best in the business.
He is very good, yes.
He has the Philadelphia 76ers at 22, taking Houston center Chris Cenac Jr. I have a feeling this is a name we're going to be hearing a lot of.
Yeah.
We know that the Sixers worked him out. We know that his range is sort of hard to pin down. Vecenie writes here that the consensus seems to be that he's going somewhere in the top 20, but the feedback that he's getting from teams is that he's more of a late first rounder. So could go higher than the Sixers. I certainly hope that's the case, I guess. But, you know, big man, good rebounder, lots of upside, good athlete, can maybe play next to Joel Embiid.
Might
want to go that route.
Look, I mean, yeah, he's 6'9", 6'10", has the potential to become a solid, I'm not going to say good, but solid three-point shooter. Rebounding and athleticism is a thing that he has. You know, floor, he could very easily be a bust, but, like, you know, expectation is like a Bobby Portis-level player, maybe even better, who knows? I mean, the guy has the potential to, you know, I'm not going to say become an all-star, but become like a solid, like maybe 16-10 guy down the road. I could see that, you know, potential.
Yeah. Like he's got crazy tools. And if you, I would understand the pick from that point. Like he's a great athlete. He can move on the perimeter defensively. He's got some shooting touch. He just needs to clean up his decision-making. He settles for a lot of like quick, low efficiency mid-range jumpers that he doesn't need to be taking. He doesn't play very strong around the rim on either end. He's a good rebounder, like I said, but the feel for the game and the processing can lag behind a bit, but a lot of upside. That much is certain.
And I do want to note that, you know, we know that Nick Nurse likes his veterans, but let's be clear, the guy developed a lot of the talent that was a part of that Toronto team that won the title. So it was a big part of that development. So let's, you know, Pascal Siakam, the most, you know, relevant name in the conversation here. Now, obviously, he doesn't have that potential, but who knows?
Yeah, it's a good point. ESPN Lucas, Jeremy Wu, the maybe one of the more plugged in, if not the most plugged in on this front. He very interestingly has Chris Cenac going 23rd to the Hawks and slipping past the Sixers at 22. He is Philadelphia taking Stanford guard Ibuka Okori. It's very interesting to me.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I haven't done too much work on Okorie. I know he's a shifty, fast, smaller guard. Not a great shooter, from my understanding. I could be wrong. Or is he okay shooter? Okay. Well, look, best player available. That's the way I see it in the draft. If he's the best player on there, cool. I've been hearing a lot. You know, there's a chance that Labor and Phylon could drop, and if that's the case, I think that would be my preferred guard. I really like him. We'll see, but I mean, of course, he's fine. Look, we need every position, in my opinion. I don't think you can say, oh no, we don't need any more guards. No, we could still use some more guards, despite the height problems.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, this team very clearly lacked a good third guard in the playoffs, with all due respect to Quentin Grimes. So
no, there's no respect on that. I'm good.
I'm like, maybe the optics aren't great of drafting another smaller guard with the pick that you traded McCain for, but
not the same front office. You can get away with that.
Yeah, and like, I think Okorie is a really good player, super fast downhill, like you said, pretty nutty shot maker, averaged 23 a game as a freshman at Stanford. Like, solid defender. He's only 6'2", but he has like a 6'8 wingspan and is very strong. I think the big knock on him is that he just wasn't a very like high assist guy. And if you do look at Philly's backcourt, they don't have a ton of great passers on this team. It's been a problem in the past. So you could maybe, you know, perpetuate some of those issues. But I think he's very talented, very high upside, and I would not be mad at all if Okorie is the pick at 22. All right, Yahoo, Lucas, Kevin O'Connor, everyone's favorite Tesla owner. He has the Sixers at 22, picking Henry Vassar out of North Carolina, junior big man, 6'11", 227, 7'2 wingspan, 22 years old, can shoot, good passer on the short roll. Pretty skilled finisher, not super strong, not a great rim protector, but pretty serviceable as a defender. How would you feel about Henry Vassar at 22?
Look, I mean, if he's the best player, look, I we said, you know, getting a quality backup for Joel is a high priority. Kristinak could be that. Henry Vassar would definitely be in the vein of that. We do have to note, though, for the past 2 years, the Sixers have spent second-round picks on centers to try to replace Joel, and, you know, that's given us Bona and Jani Broom. So, look, maybe using a first-round pick would be the better idea, or it could backfire. I mean, like you said, Vassar is kind of a thin-frame dude. You know, you would preferably – do you want another Nerlens Noel? I don't know. I mean, Nerlens was a good backup before all the injuries and the added, you know, ego things going on, but, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I don't think Vassar would be my favorite prospect in this range, but I feel pretty good about him coming in and finding a way to contribute and probably being.
He'd be the best backup center in the room as currently constructed.
Yeah, I'd feel reasonably good at that about that. So I would not hate the pick whatsoever.
My concern is he's not going to start. He can't start you 10 games in a row if Joel misses time. That's my thing. I don't think he's ready for that yet.
Yeah, I think that's fair, but I don't think many prospects available at 22 are going to be.
That's fair.
Do that. All right, Lucas, Bleacher Report, Jonathan Wasserman. He has the Sixers taking Chris Sinek Jr. out of Houston. Another one. Notably, he has Hannes Steinbach falling to the Hawks at 23, which means the Sixers would be passing on him.
No. If that happens, Steinbach has to be the pick. I'm sorry. I would love that so much.
I agree. I think Steinbach is a really good fit. Sinek, we talked about it. Not our favorite option, but an understandable one, at least.
He's a long-term view guy. He's not a short-term view. Steinbach could come in here, and he's the best rebounder in the whole entire group of draftees here. Could come in right away. You know, I think he has the athleticism. Now, I can't remember his blocks per game, but he's a solid rim protector, right? Not great, but solid, right?
Yeah, he's not great, but he moves reasonably well, and he's very strong.
So I think you could he would be a out of the, like Vasar, Sinak, and him, you know, obviously if he fell to us, I don't think he will. He would be I think he I would feel most comfortable him starting games for Joel whenever Joel misses time.
Yeah, look, I mean, look, someone always falls. Steinbach feels very like solid to me, and like the kind of prospect that just is a good bet to produce on some level. Vicini at the Athletic wrote in his mock that Steinbach is not expected to fall out of the lottery. I don't know if I fully buy that he's like a top
No, he's
14
not a
lottery.
lot. I don't think
He
he's a
hasn't gone
lottery
to
guy.
Charlotte at 14, so it's clearly not like a lock that he's in the lottery, but Golden State, I've seen Milwaukee connected to him. Charlotte, all those teams are going to be interested. Chicago would make a lot of sense.
They just hired Tiago Splinter, by the way. Shout out to them.
So I don't think Steinbach's going to be there, but it's an interesting possibility. I'd be very happy with it. PHLY, Derek Bodner and Kyle Newbeck and those folks also have the Sixers taking Chris Sinak in their mock that they did today. And I'll just say that my mock that is going up tomorrow, I also have them taking Sinak. So,
Against your better, so that's not your mock is not what you want, but what you
no.
think will happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, look, we obviously don't really know what Mike Gansey's deal is yet. We have no real insight into how he thinks about these things. So,
Well, I
who
mean,
knows?
look, we actually kind of do because like Sinek does fit the mold of an Evan Mobley, Isaiah Mobley, like the stretch-ish big. I know
Mobley
he's
was
not on
like
the
the
same.
number two pick, Lucas.
I'm not saying that he's Evan Mobley. I'm saying that the skill sets are similar.
But that
And
wasn't like a pick based on skill set. That was like, this is the second best guy in the draft, and we're going to take
okay,
him.
I mean, he didn't win
We've
Rookie of the
seen
Year,
Jalen
but okay.
Tyson. I think that would be a more like guys like that would be a more telling. Like, who are they taking in the 20s and 30s? I think someone who takes Jalen Tyson could very well talk themselves into Sinak. And as we've seen with Tyson, it can work out with those kind of upside players on offense. So I'm again not completely closed off to the idea of Chris Sinak. I'll embrace it, I guess, if it happens. But I do have my reservations.
Well,
All right.
let's talk about our consensus big board for the Sixers.
Yeah, let's try to make it here, Lucas. So I want us to first we have to determine like which prospects are and aren't possibly in the Sixers wheelhouse. So I think anyone
Okay.
ranked in my I'll say top 12 here, except for Delon Swain, we can ignore. So we can ignore the top four, obviously. We can ignore the high level point guards. So maybe LeBaron Fylon we don't ignore.
Because
So let's say
he's a name that I've heard that's most likely to slip.
Fylon, Swain. I don't think Sturtz gets to us, but it's not
No.
impossible.
It's not impossible.
I'm gonna say no on Sturtz.
Yeah,
I
that's
think
fine.
Jayden Clayton's very well could be there. I
Yeah, he
don't
could
think
be.
Paris Johnson will be there. I don't
No.
know about Yaxel Lindeborg. I'd bet no.
I think because well, Dallas, yeah, there's that aspect, the Dusty Mays of it all. Yeah, let's just say no. I don't know. I don't know. We it's what well, you're the draft guy here. I'm just here for the ride.
I'm mocking him to the Spurs at 20, which is lower than everyone else, and I still think that would be a very severe fall. I don't think he's going to get to us
Okay.
unless we trade up.
I've
But
heard Chicago with him a lot lately.
yeah, a lot of Chicago predictions out there. Let's talk about Steinbach, since it's apparently not inconceivable with the plugged-in experts. Brayden Burries is a no.
No.
Cameron Carr, I think, is a no.
No.
We'll talk about Allen Graves. We'll talk about
Though I will
Okoro.
say, if Cameron Carr did get there, it would be interesting to have those three. You can play Carr at the small
Yeah,
forward.
I'm not opposed to it. Nederman, no.
No.
Tristan Anderson, no, I would say.
No.
And we can run through everyone else here. Speed
Okay.
round.
All right.
I'll throw out at the top here, Lucas. Do we agree that Delon Swain is number one? Are we in agreement on that? Or would you put Fylon there?
I think I would put Phylon there. I mean, look, Plink, this is such a tough one. I think if you're betting on an upside, Swain's the best player. But if you're talking about currently able to contribute right away, it's probably more Phylon.
I will say that I think you're maybe underrating Swain's defense and the size factor and how that.
I just think that if he's not the primary ball handler or even the secondary ball handler, which in Philly he wouldn't start off as, at least I don't think he would.
You can get him into some bench units where he handles a bit. That's fair. Phylon is also 176 pounds, which the list of under 180 guards who have made it recently is very short.
Fair.
I'm willing to budge on Phylon over Swain, but I will expect a similar concession down the road, perhaps.
Fair.
All right.
Swain's number two.
Swain 2, Phylon 1, Swain 2.
Okay.
All right, at 3.
Is this Steinbach?
I would probably say Steinbach, I guess. Yeah. These are kind of the dream categories. I don't think any of these guys are super likely to get to Philly at this point.
I'm
going to posit Jaden Quaintance at 4.
Yeah, I mean, look, upside, sure. We'll see.
Quaintance, I ranked the 10 best defenders in the draft recently, and I put Quaintance at 1. He's really special. If he's healthy.
That's the big thing, right?
Second youngest player in the draft, had an amazing defensive season as a 17-year-old at Arizona State before he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Super mobile, super explosive, very powerful athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very tuned in on the defensive end. I think there's a lot of upside there that I understand the injury concerns, but this is the 22nd pick. It's not the 3rd pick.
I get that.
You're not really getting a guaranteed thing at this point in the draft, regardless. So,
mm-hmm.
Let's put Quaintance 4th.
Okay, that's 5th. Fine.
I would posit that this is the Allen Graves or Ibuka Okori range.
I think I'd put Okori above Graves.
What are your thoughts on Kareem Lopez? I think the same.
I'm not high on him. I don't think
he gets to us, but Vicini did say like 11 to 25 is his range.
I mean, look, I'm not high on him, to be completely honest. He's probably towards the bottom of this list.
Yeah.
I would honestly, hot take, I would have Joshua Jefferson above him.
I agree. Okay. We're on the same page there. But we can include Lopez at some point.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Graves 5, Okori 6.
I will give you that concession because you gave me the one earlier. That's fine.
What do you feel differently?
I don't think Graves translates to the NBA level on defense. I don't think he can guard 4s, and I think he's too small to guard 5s. I don't think he's fast enough. He reminds me of George's Niang.
He's like 6'9", 6'10", almost in shoes.
He's
pretty long, 225. Had crazy steal and block numbers.
He was guarding centers. Who's guarding centers?
He wasn't really good guarding centers. I mean, they used him as a wing. So,
I'll give you it because I made the concession earlier. That's fine.
Okay, I might even posit that for the Sixers' purposes, we could go Joshua Jefferson over Okori. Though I think that's an interesting
readiness. I'll still put Okori over.
All right.
Yeah.
Okori 6.
Okay.
Cool with Jefferson 7.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
All right, 8. We are now in, if we're going by my board, which is not Sixers specific, I would have Kareem Lopez, Zubi Ejiofor, and Taurus Reed as, and we can throw in Henry Vassar and Kobe Peet. Minsonak. That's the
okay, range. Hold up. Too many names. I don't have all that. Right. Okay.
Are your thoughts on, are you higher or lower on Isaiah Evans?
I am low.
Okay. We're low on Sinek.
Kobe Peet, I'm actually kind of high.
Okay. So let's do Kareem Lopez, Kobe Peet, Zubi Ejiofor, and Tarz Reed. That's the four-man group we're going to tackle here.
Okay, so
Reed and Adefor are senior bigs. Lopez is a 19-year-old coming over from Australia. More of a forward, good slasher, rebounder, upside on defense. Kopi, freshman, 19, from Arizona.
So here's how I would order that group of four, okay?
Okay.
I would do Reed, Pete, Adefor, Lopez.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm just not high on Lopez at all. I think he's going to be a bust. I'm sorry.
No, I think that's
see,
fair.
See, your dog agrees with me. See?
That's fair. The dog agrees. Okay. So I can concede Reed at eight if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, we can do that.
I would push for Zubi over Koapi.
If it, I expect a similar concession later.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, okay. We can do Pete at 10 and Lopez at 11. That's fine with me.
Okay.
All right. 12. Next range, Lucas, is Henry Vassar.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah Evans, Chris Sinak, maybe Malik Thomas, maybe Sergio.
Nah, let's just stop with
I think Sergio is going to be quite possibly a first round pick. I don't think
I'm just saying I don't think he's on the Sixers radar. I don't.
I mean, it wouldn't be the most shocking thing in the world.
I would rather Thomas, but honestly.
Look, 6'6", 204, 6'9 wingspan, really super smart high field playmaker.
Can he defend?
There's some guys.
I mean, ideally, I guess he would be the type of guy you would want to put next to your backcourt, but can he guard threes, I guess, is my question.
I don't know, but I think VJ can.
No, okay. Well, okay. Well, I guess Lopez would be higher.
He's going to come off the bench, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Okay, so what's the... Okay, so let's do Sergio over Malik. What's the range of four again?
I would probably still put Malik over Sergio. I'm just trying to give you the case for why they might take him at 22.
I get the pros of Malik. I still rather have Sergio.
I would say Vassar would be the top of this range for me.
Yeah. Honestly, I would have Vassar ahead of Lopez.
That's fine. I can go there. I have Lopez ranked higher than these guys, but I wouldn't.
I'm just not a fan. I'm not. I'm sorry.
All right. Vassar, 11. Lopez, 12. 13.
Who are the remaining guys?
We have Malik Thomas, we have Isaiah Evans, we have Chris Sinak, and we have Sergio De La
Rey. Chris Sinak's here. Honestly,
I'm going to posit that I would put Sinak last of all these guys.
You would put Sinak last? Oh, wow. Okay. I don't think I can do that. I think the upside.
Can we come to an agreement on doing Thomas, Evans, Sinak, De La Rea?
I can do Thomas, Sinak, Evans, La Rea. Even though I do think Sinek's better than Lopez or Thomas, I can do that consensus.
Okay. I think that is pretty much everyone that is reasonably in play for the Sixers. Barring someone falling unexpectedly, which very well could happen.
Well, I think ranges 1 through 3 is the unexpected falls. I think those are the guys that we're projecting.
Let me just go through a couple of these mocks to see if there's anyone kind of notable that could fall further than we would expect.
Well, I'm on Tankathon right now.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Anybody? They have Swain going 24th. That's crazy.
I don't think that will happen. All right. Yeah, I think we've pretty much nailed the broader group here.
Who's Jack Kalen? Kaylee.
Kale?
Kale, he's
a German guard.
They have him 29th to Cleveland. I don't know anything about him.
I wouldn't expect the Sixers to take him at 22. That would be a little alarming to me.
Is Alex Carbon? I've seen him mocked in the first round. Is that just a no?
It's a no for me personally, but I mean, crazier things have happened. I mean, okay. I don't really think he fixes what the Sixers need at that position, but if there's any, like, super senior guy who's going to jump up and surprise folks that I could maybe sort of get behind, it would be either Baba Miller or Onyenso from Virginia.
I was thinking Trayvon Brazil.
I'm not there on Brazil.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I think we've got everyone here, Lucas.
Okay.
I'll read out the list for the folks at home one more time in order. At number one, we have LeBaron Filon out of Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
At two, we have Dalen Swain out of Texas. At three, we have Hannes Steinbach out of Washington.
And I just want to say those three are the three that we expect that if anybody's going to fall, it could be those three.
Yeah, I agree. Jaden Clayton's at four. Mm-hmm. Allen Graves at five. Ibuka Okori at six. Joshua Jefferson at seven. Tarris Reed at eight. Zubi Ejiofor at nine. Koa Pete at 10. Henry Vassar at 11. Kareem Lopez at 12. Malik Thomas at 13. Chris Sinek Jr. at 14. Isaiah Evans at 15. And Sergio De La Rea at 16. I think that's a good list.
Yeah, it's a solid list.
I agree with most of it broadly.
Yeah. Look, I think I'd be very happy if we got anybody from 1 through 8. It's particularly 1 through 7.
Yeah, I'm happy anyone really 1 through 9. I like Zubi a lot. I'd be pretty stoked about that. I can talk myself into Koa Pete. I think Vassar is fine. I'd probably... No,
12 through 16 is where we have a problem. I mean, I can talk myself into Chris Sinek, but I can't...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the rest of them. I mean, De La Rea, I haven't. There's not enough tape on him.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's contributed at a very, very solid level for a very good team in Europe. I can talk myself into that pick, probably more than Sinek for the Sixers' purposes, oddly enough. But, Evans, I'm not super stoked on. I just don't think there's quite enough there, but you can always use shooters next to Joel, so who am I to complain? All right, around the NBA, Lucas. Trae Young was signed to a 4-year, $212 million contract today.
You love sports. We live sports. Subscribe to Sports Illustrated Magazine and get the inside stories, bold opinions, and iconic photography that define the game. Don't wait. Go to si.com/SIPodOffer and join the legacy today.
So we should probably just make note of that.
Yeah, look, that's how much other teams could offer, the max other teams could offer. So they kind of gave him a max, but not a real max, but it's still kind of a max. I don't think this should impact whether or not they take Peterson or AJ.
I think Peterson is straight up a much better fit next to Trae Young.
I could agree to, yeah. Because, I mean, look, you have Keyshawn George that can play the three. I think AJ depends.
He's a very, like, ISO-heavy scorer.
Yeah, I think Peterson works. Now, the question is, defensively, do they work?
Peterson's a better defender than AJ. He's 6'6", and shoots with a 6'10 wingspan.
Yeah, I think that's
better in all ways, frankly.
I know you would prefer Cam Boozer there. But I think Peterson's probably the better fit.
Yeah,
I don't think that
they're going to take AJ. So none of it matters. But
yeah, they're taking AJ. I don't love the fit there, to be honest. I think AJ's a power forward in the NBA, not a small forward. If I'm being completely honest,
I don't know.
I don't know, but we'll see. So there's that. Besides that,
it's way too much money for Trae Young, by the way. It's an absurd deal. I don't know who was going to offer him that in free agency, but
they were saying Chicago was sniffing around.
I don't really buy that, but okay.
Chicago would be a terrible fit.
Caleb Wilson would be a good running mate for him in theory.
Well, they have Josh Giddey already.
They're not going to keep Giddey. They could trade Giddey, but
they could. Hey, look. If somehow we could flip Paul George for Giddey, like if we have to include picks, like
why would we do that?
Josh Giddey fits the timeline, and he's a perfect fit next to in terms of offensive fit. He's really good, a really good ideal fit next to Tyrese and VJ.
That just makes the spacing worse.
And
what do you mean he was a solid 3-point shooter the last 2 years in Chicago? Over 36.
So far ahead of him on defense.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't want to pay Josh Giddey.
He's only getting paid $25 million a year flat for the next 3 years.
I guess.
That's not bad.
I'm worried about him on defense. I
get the defensive issues, but at the same time, you got VJ. That's what you got VJ for, right?
I guess, but you also have Maxey, who's okay these days, but not great.
I
could maybe be talked into it, I guess, but
I've talked myself into it already.
It's not gonna happen.
I mean, look, we would have to take on Pat Williams' bad contract to make that thing work, but I could stomach it. Besides that, it seems like all the players involved in the Giannis trade knows it's going to happen.
Literally might happen before this podcast is published.
Let me actually check my phone to make sure it hasn't happened.
I've looked, but seems like Boston is the front runner these days.
Oh, hold up. Shams Charania, you just tweeted out a deal. Minnesota is sending Julius Randle in the 28th pick in the 2000. Knicks send Nick Claxton to the Bulls. The Timberwolves also acquire the 33rd pick for Randle and the 28th pick. So Brooklyn gets, now they have Michael Porter Jr. and Julius Randle on the same team. With two more picks.
So,
and they get rid of Nick Claxton. So that's an interesting pivot.
Brooklyn is basically taking on Randall's contract to move down five spots. No, to move up five spots. Okay.
No. Brooklyn's getting the 33rd and the 28th pick.
No. Timberwolves are getting the 33rd
pick.
You're right.
Yeah.
Brooklyn's getting Randle on number 28.
Interesting.
So Brooklyn's moving up five spots back into the first round to take on Randle's contract and give up Nick Claxton. So Claxton's going to the Bulls.
I like Claxton on the Bulls. That's
sure. Yeah, that's fine.
I like that. They have the cap space. Minnesota looks like they're gearing up for something. I don't know.
I think trading Randle for really to just get off that contract was probably one of their big priorities this summer. Okay, that's fun. That's not Giannis, but that's something.
That is something.
I will go in and change my mock after we get done recording.
Never say never, right?
How Julius fun.
That's an interesting fit, like Julius Randle and Michael Porter Jr. That's like two fringe all stars. Like
they're gonna be a spunky 12 seed next year.
They're gonna be something, all right. They still have Igor Demon too. I don't think Randle stays in Brooklyn. I think he's not going to be staying there.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know who or where they're going to flip him at this point. I think the Nets, who don't have their pick next year, are going to try to win some games. I think that's like on their to-do list. So.
But Randle and Michael Porter Jr. doesn't make that happen.
It makes it happen more than nothing. You know what
but
I mean?
But here's the other thing now. They don't have their pick. Is it a pick swap or is it just a pick trade? I can't remember.
So Brooklyn is moving up into the first round again to get 20. It's a pick swap next year. So
pick swap. Okay. So theoretically, so it doesn't matter how much they win or lose because the odds are flattened now.
Yeah, exactly. So
it doesn't matter.
They're going to make the playoffs, so they don't have to like give up a lottery pick. They aren't going to get the best pick out of that swap no matter what. So, losing doesn't do them anything next year.
I don't. We'll see. By the way, I've been hearing rumblings about Tyler Hero to the Detroit Pistons, and I actually have to say I don't hate that for Detroit. I think that's actually not a terrible idea.
It does not seem like that's going to be a three-team deal with the Heat at this point, was the reporting that came out today.
With Milwaukee?
Yeah. So
yeah. No.
The Hero report that came out was that was part of a three-team deal with Miami.
No, oh, okay.
The reporting today was that it's not going to be a three-team deal.
No, it's going to be a straight-up 1v1, yeah.
They could, I guess, independently trade for Tyler Hero, but I...
Yeah. I don't hate that for Detroit if they did that. I think that's actually a pretty solid move.
Yeah, I wouldn't give up a ton, but I think it makes sense.
It makes sense for them, you know. I heard that the Houston Rockets are willing to trade everybody not named Amon Thompson. That's interesting. I don't know if I would give up on a Şengün that quickly, but, you know, okay. Well,
I forget who exactly reported it, but it was they're not looking to trade these guys. They're just willing to listen. So I imagine they won't trade Şengün unless it's a super duper offer. And in which case, Şengün is very good, but very flawed. And if someone's giving you a whole bunch of picks and good players, then obviously you just take that and build out a different kind of lineup. But all right.
I guess the question is, what are the Knicks going to do at center now? That's interesting. What? Well, I said what the Nets are going to do. I'm saying, what will the Nets do with center now? Because Sharp isn't really a full-time starter, I don't think.
Well, they have money. They do have money.
Yeah.
Looks like Naj Reid is going to start up forward, so I would expect we see a lot of Yoan Berenguer next year as the backup five in Minnesota.
Well, okay, hot take. What if you just start Jalen McDaniels at the four and slide,
read the report from The Athletic that it's going to be Naj Reid, so.
Oh, okay, interesting. John. Okay, interesting. I don't know if Naj can hold up full-time as a power forward. We'll see.
Yeah, he's done a good job.
I mean, defensively. Offensively, I'm not worried about it, but defensively...
Yeah, you got Rudy. They'll be fine.
I guess that, now they have the flexibility of getting bringing back Dosunmu, which is probably the most important thing, because, you know, DiVincenzo is going to be out.
They created a $33 million trade exception and are $50 million below the first apron, the Wolves. So they got some flexibility now. I think this is a very good trade for the Wolves. Good Godspeed to Nets fans. Good for the Bulls, I guess.
Classic. It's interesting. Yeah.
Reclamation project. So, yeah, that's interesting. Giannis could be traded by the time you're listening to this podcast, in which case, that sucks if he's a Boston Celtic, and I'm not scared at all if he's a Miami Heat.
Him and Bam are basically take up the same parts of the floor.
I don't even think that's the problem. They just won't have anyone around them.
I think it's gonna be Boston. I think
I don't like that at all.
Because even if you don't want to build around Jaylen Brown, you can flip him for other assets.
Yeah. I really think Brown's contract is a little bit probably more troubling than people make it out to be, but
I think he's overpaid, but you know, that's fine.
He's very good. The Bucks also don't have their pick next year, so tanking won't really get them anywhere. Yeah. I can see the logic behind
it. I think Kyle Kuzma is also going to be a part of this trade because he's made some cryptic tweets too.
Yeah, maybe. I wouldn't want him if I were any other team, but
I guess my thing is there's so many players that could be moved. We're talking about Kyrie Irving. We're talking about because we have Dusty Mays, college coach. You're going to probably want to start off with young players there. You don't want to have a guy like Kyrie and Klay there.
I don't know if that's true necessarily.
They're not going to be able to compete right away. Come on now.
Cooper is very good already. Kyrie is, last we saw him, still an all-star caliber guard.
I don't know, man.
A lottery pick. I don't think they're that far off. And, again, with these, new tanking measures, not as many teams are going to be trying to just lose all the time. Hopefully, that's the
idea. I'm not saying lose, but build your core for like your timeline. Kyrie's not part of their timeline.
Well, Kyrie can help the young guys come along. He can put them in better position.
Do you honestly think what we know about Kyrie Irving? Do you think that he would want to do that at this stage of his career?
I think Kyrie
didn't want to do it in Boston.
I think Kyrie now and Kyrie in Boston are two very different people.
I think Kyrie has really
embraced being in Dallas, and I'm not worried about like Kyrie as a leader or a locker room cancer or anything like that. But seems like they're going to keep him. I think Cooper and Kyrie could be very fun together.
By the way, I'm expecting to see a lot more college coaches trying to make the jump to the NBA based off of all the crazy stuff going on with NIL and college athletics and all that.
I think you have to hire the right college coach. I don't, you know.
Well, it was between him and John Shire.
I think Dusty May is the right kind of coach. I think he's very good, and I think that was a good hire. But you don't want to just hire
any hot college name. Coach.
You don't want to hire John Calipari because
no, you don't.
He's tired of like GMing or whatever. So, I think the Dusty May hire is super cool. He did an awesome job at Michigan. We could see the Mavs target like Merez Johnson or Adaimara at 9. I'm going to put myself out on a limb right now. This is what's going in the mock tomorrow morning. I'll see if it changes, but I have them taking Adaimara at 9. So
do they?
I had them last week too, before the Dusty May thing. But my thing is,
you got 3 playable centers then. Are you going to trade one of them? Like, and who do you trade?
I think they trade Gafford.
Yeah.
I've been trying to trade Gafford for like 2 years.
You know, it'd be cool if the Sixers could get Gafford. Just saying, that would be great. I like Gafford.
Yeah, I like Gafford too. I would be very happy with him in Philly.
I don't know how we work that into our salary. I don't think we can. We?
I mean, look, I wrote a Spurs article after the finals, which was like 3 trades to fix the Spurs, and I got them Trey Murphy, Daniel Gafford, and I swapped like Fox for Wiggins. And some other salary filler from the Heat. I was like, this really makes almost too much sense. So the Spurs could be a good Daniel Gafford team if the Mavericks are willing to go there.
Look, I mean, there's a lot of trades that could happen this offseason. Herb Jones and Trey Murphy have been dangled.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah Stewart, that would be an interesting fit next. Honestly. If somehow we could have somehow absorbed...
I love beef stew.
He could be our starting power forward. Resolves our rim protection, our rebounding, and our three-point shooting.
Yeah, I'd be very into beef stew.
He would fit Philly guy. He'd be a Philly guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hate him right now, but would love to have him on the team, you know?
Yeah, I would like that a lot. But
the dog is
getting anxious, Lucas, so I think we got to wrap it up.
All right, let's go ahead.
As always, everyone, thank you for tuning into another episode of the Sixer Sense podcast. Like, subscribe, follow along if you can. We are on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and on YouTube. That's Lucy in the background telling you to subscribe. We are on Twitter at Sixer Sense. I'm at KleinNBA. Lucas is at CoachJ_20. We're on TikTok as well. And until next time, like Lucy just said, go Sixers. We'll talk to you tomorrow night late. Maybe early Thursday morning when you're listening after the draft, or Wednesday morning. Sorry. Peace out, y'all.
Deuces, guys.